I hereby call this September 19th regular board meeting, SCCSD Board of Directors, to order. Would you plan? So please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Of all five directors here, we have a quorum. I do not have a president's report today, and I'd like to ask if anyone on the board wishes to either move or delete an item that's on the agenda for an agenda review here. Seeing no requests, such requests, I'll go over to board member communications. This is when individual board members may give brief reports on their activities or ask questions. Make an announcement. We have Director Dean, I think. Yeah.
I would like to congratulate our AGP technician, Jesse, who just got married this weekend.
Oh,
so congratulations.
Director Farmer.
I don't have an announcement that's nearly as, how could we say it, engaging and hopeful. This coming Saturday, as every September 21st, is the United Nations International Day of Peace. As we're probably already, we're all aware, the fact that there's a less than peace on this planet at this time. I know each of us that are within the sound of my voice make every effort to live as peaceful and as loving a life as possible. But I just wanted to remind us that there's actually a day of the year where we endeavor to at least do a little better job at that and be hopeful for the future. So I just wanted to mention that. And if you're doing anything on Saturday and you want to take a moment or two to kind of reflect on how you wish the world could improve in one fashion or another to create more peace and love and harmony on the planet, please do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Vice President Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to, although it's already been posted that the policy committee on September 26th is canceled, I just wanted to let you all know that. If you have questions about why that happened, please email me and I will let you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other board member communications? Now that seeing no more, I will move on to public comment. This is when those in the were in attendance. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry about that. Yes. They're all waiting patiently in the back there. This is public safety reports. And I think we have Commander McDonald first with the Sheriff's Department report. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Members of the board. Staff, members of the public. For the month of August, we had 3 assault and battery calls. 2 of those were battery calls and 1 was domestic violence related. We had 27 disturbance calls, 18 general disturbances, 5 neighbor disputes, 2 family disputes, and 1 loud music complaint, or I'm sorry, 2 loud music complaints. We had 0 burglaries in Cambria in August, although we had 3 thefts reported, 3 of those being, I'm sorry, we had 6 thefts reported, 3 being petty thefts and 3 being grand thefts. We had 6 vandalism calls. 2 were damaged to a business, 2 were damaged to vehicles, and 2 were graffiti. Calls. We did make an arrest of 2 juveniles in the graffiti related vandalism, and we are hopeful that that will curb some of the graffiti that we've been seeing over the last several months. Those juveniles will be making their way through the juvenile probation justice system, and may or may not end up with a consequence of some supervision that follows them for some period of time. But we're hopeful that regardless of the outcome of that, that it may curtail the activity that we've been seeing. We had no mail thefts reported and no phone scams reported to us. We had 11 suspicious circumstance calls, which included 5 suspicious circumstances, 5 suspicious persons, and 1 suspicious vehicle. And the deputies working in the Cambria area conducted 24 vehicle stops and 3 pedestrian stops during the month. They also engaged in 6 on-site activities, 4 parked vehicle checks, 2 patrol checks, 2 foot patrols, and 1 extra patrol. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm available for any questions or concerns.
Thank you, Commander. Excuse me. Thank you, Commander McDonald. Yes, we have Director Farmer with a question.
Thank you, President Gray. Yes, Commander McDonald. Thank you so much for being here again today. I just wanted to ask you with regard to finally determining the 2 juveniles that have been doing, I would say, probably most of the graffiti in town. What type of interaction have you had with the parents of those youngsters with regard to them taking some responsibility in some fashion or another, at least being receptive to what needs to be addressed with regard to their children?
Yeah, so we obviously had communication with their parents because of our interaction and arrest of those juveniles. What you're referring to, that ongoing relationship of offering support services for parenting and keeping better control of juveniles, that conversation happens between the probation department and the parents.
All right, thank you.
Director Dean.
On the same topic, you reported at a previous meeting about the arrest of the juveniles. And after that, and a little more recently, there was graffiti in Strawberry Canyon on a bench and on one of the CCSD sewer risers. Were these the same juveniles? Were you called out for that one?
Yeah. So I did report on that last month, the arrest, because it had happened just a day or two before last month's meeting. The Strawberry Canyon benches have been vandalized multiple times over the last couple of months. One of the juveniles arrested, we suspect, was involved with that vandalism. I don't recall off the top of my head if the arrest predated the most recent vandalism or not. However, all of that being said, these 2 individuals are not the only people that we believe are vandalizing and doing that graffiti. But we are hoping that that group, a small group, but that group will be affected by a couple of their own being held accountable, and that it may curtail it.
Thank you.
Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for your report, Commander McDonald. I have a question. Could you define more the enforcement stops and the parameters of where your deputies make those enforcement stops?
So I break them down into vehicle stops and pedestrian stops. They're any time that we have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to make an enforcement stop. An enforcement stop is a detainment, and so therefore we have to have some basis under the Constitution for stopping somebody. The vehicle stops are usually vehicle code violations, whether they be equipment violations or moving violations. Quite honestly, the bicycle stops are likewise usually vehicle code violations. Pedestrian stops might be a pedestrian walking in the roadway or some other prohibited activity that gives us a probable cause or a reasonable suspicion to make that stop.
And just a further question, the reason I'm asking is the intersection where there is a light at Burton and Highway 1. There, a friend of mine just told me, and so this is hearsay, right, that four of his acquaintances or friends have received a ticket for turning right onto Burton at that intersection off of Highway 1 because they were in that right-hand lane that I think is a bicycle lane. So I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but I've done that many times. And the reason I'm asking is because if you don't go over there to turn right, there are a bunch of people who are going over there to turn right, and it's a vehicle hazard because then you want to turn right and they're turning right too. So would I talk with Caltrans, or who would I talk with about that?
I was going to defer you to the Highway Patrol over the enforcement part of that because I don't recall seeing a ticket come through our office for that, but definitely Highway Patrol has the primary traffic enforcement, so those tickets may have been written by them. And with your contact to the Highway Patrol, you could ask if there's an engineering solution that could be put in place by Caltrans.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, like development of an actual right-hand turn lane.
Yeah.
Or whatever's necessary to make sure that ultimately that the circulating traffic is safe.
Yeah, because on the other side, it happens too.
Right.
Yeah, with going north and going south. Thank you.
Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray, and thank you, Commander McDonald. This is, you know, not for you know, the August time period, but what can you tell us about the you know, the tragedy last Saturday night on Highway 1 near Burton? You know, the loss of the life of Mr. Aguilar.
Again, the primary investigating agency for that traffic collision is the Highway Patrol. We were obviously involved because of the death of the individual. It's my understanding it was a 16-year-old who resided out of San Simeon.
San Simeon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I have no more questions to answer. Again, Madam McDonald, thank you for your full report and coming out again to see us.
All right.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you next month.
We do too. Up next is Chief Michael Berkey, his report. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm speeding ahead. Is there any public comment on the sheriff's report?
No.
Okay, thank you. And no comment in the hall. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Too much for hurry today.
Good afternoon, President Gray, members of the board, members of the staff, community. I have the report for August, which shows we had one fire call, one basically over explosion, over kind of two overpressure calls, 65 rescue and emergency medical service incidents, one hazardous condition, 8 service calls, 11 good intent calls, 5 false alarm and false calls, for a total of 93 for that month. I wanted to point out that you have I think it's a 6-7 page, or maybe even more than that, page report in your handout, but Ms. Dotson and I created on the website, there's a much more thorough and in-depth look at that. But it's 18 pages, I think 19 total with the one extra page added in there. So it is on the website. So if anybody does want to look a little bit more deeper into a lot of these calls. There's a lot more information on there. One of the ones that we found particularly useful is the it's the patient contact by city of residence. So it does show you where a lot of the patients that we're transporting, that we're making contact with, where they reside, whether it's San Simeon, Cambria, or out of the area. So I thought, again, that was something notable to mention. That concludes my quick little report. If there's any questions.
Well, thank you, Chief Berkey. Are there any questions from the directors? Director Thomas.
Yes, yeah, thank you very much, Chief Berkey. Great data. And I just want to share with you Exhibit A. And to me, and I've got a bigger one at home, and we shouldn't need this, right? So the data is there, but you know, maybe in coming months, help us a little bit with that. Obviously, this comes directly from a system, and it may look like the data from that system needs to be put into something that's presentable. And on the on page 8, the scene locations of fire incidents, right? It would be helpful to better understand the the circles, and also, since the numbers in the circles add up to 93, and that's the number of incidents, I assume that this is not just, because I mean, the title on page 8 is locations of fire incidents, and one looks at that and like, holy smokes, looking at the numbers, it looks like there's a lot of fire incidents, and I think this is not actually fire incidents, but net total calls. Just asking for perhaps in future reports, we don't need to go deep on this. It looks like areas with more have yellow and areas with less have green, but beyond that, it doesn't do much for us without better understanding what it is.
Absolutely. So with the reports that are generated, it does get a little convoluted, especially when we're adding so much information. The more information we add, it does get a little difficult to read and view. So we've been working, I've been working with staff to try and mitigate a little bit of those issues. And again, the format we can work with, some of the stuff we can change, and others we can't. So as we move forward, we'll see what your preferences are. And of course, whatever you guys deem appropriate, I can absolutely do. As far as the scene locations of fire incidents, that does include all of the incidents. When it says fire, it is a little bit misleading, but it is all incidents within our fire department. That's just how that system kind of relays the information, for sure. But we can definitely, even if we just said scene locations of incidents, that's probably a little bit more clear, so that way everybody understands that.
Yeah, at least that's accurate.
Yeah. But again, this is a, we're working to improve it, so I appreciate the feedback and definitely looking into. Again, this presentation is meant to be as simple as possible, and the information, I really want to get more information, but at the same time not make it so convoluted that it doesn't make any sense. So I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, the sincere effort comes through. What we had seen in prior years, there's much more depth and context. So it's clear, and I absolutely appreciate the that sincere effort to provide more data and information. So thanks, and more to come, obviously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then Director Thomas, we're also going to work on, Ms. Dodson and I will work on a few pages that will be 11 by 17 folded sideways that will allow us to expand the view. So you won't have to bring your handy tool next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any more questions from the directors? I had a question to follow up on Director Thomas's discussion of the size of things, or it seems that image trend generates these charts, right? Tables. Right. This is maybe for both for you and for maybe Ms. Dodson also. And is there any way to adjust the font size?
I don't,
because that would solve a lot of problems.
I'll definitely look into that, but I don't think so. This comes from, so it is Image Trend, but there's a separate program within Image Trend. It's called Continuum. As you see at the top of the page, that's what that means.
Yeah.
That's the program that's really doing it. There are limitations, but I'll investigate that and see if
there's something we can. Because I mean, if this were Excel, there'd be a little, you know, you could just tweak tweak the font size and stuff like that. So
honestly, at the end of the day, if this is too much, you know, the format and everything, I can create another document to filter all this information. Yeah. Again, whatever is necessary, whatever we need to do.
Yeah, and the one comment I'd have on the map is I'm assuming these dots with the numbers in that is it an interactive map so that you put your cursor on those, it would open up.
Yes. So we
information about,
we had to be careful detail with that map, because what it does for us is it absolutely zooms right into the address. Mm-hmm. You can click on the address, but we couldn't provide that. That's as far as like the we didn't want to get the information out there as far as whose individual homes we were going to, just for privacy's sake. So this was the kind of the format that we decided on as far as just saying the areas generally speaking.
Yeah. I mean, I saw on the host, it's very, very good information, and it just needs, I think it needs refinement in the presentation.
Sure.
But I think it's really valuable information to have publicly.
And then President Gray will work with Ms. Dodson through Adobe. We should be able to increase the size through Adobe Acrobat, even if Image Trend generates a smaller font. So we'll work.
Great. Any comment from, public comment from the, either from those in attendance or those online?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chief Berkey.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Now it's time for public comment on issues that are not on the agenda today, but are within the purview or relevant to the CCSD's activities and responsibilities. Anyone in attendance here who wishes to speak? Mr. Dudzik.
Thank you, President Gray. I just wanted to give a shout out. Thank you to the staff for this last weekend. We had a water leak on the water coming into on the other side of our valve. So it was on the downslope side. And I was not able to get a hold of anybody at the mobile home park that we live in. And so I went through the CCSD procedure to make the phone call and report a leak. And that morning, Andy came out and checked it out from CCSD, and the staff was very helpful, and I appreciate it. And of course, the park management took care of the leak, but it was great that he was there, and just in the event that we needed something right away.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Any other comments?
No.
Yeah, thank you. We'll move on now to the General Manager's Report, I believe. Item 5A.
Thank you, President Gray. Yeah. I'll do a brief overview. Monday, September 23rd, we'll be working at the Vets Hall for our monthly meeting along with the Fire Chief. For our office will be closed on Monday the 14th in observance of Columbus Day, and I believe Director Farmer will want to touch base on that here in a second. As most of us know, we're relocating the office. Some of the details on that office relocation is back on the agenda today. We discussed a little bit at the other board meeting, or our last board meeting. We will have a period of the office being closed from October, the current office closed from October 28th through November 1st for the process of the move. So we apologize for any inconvenience there. I attended the year-end conference for the CSDA, in which we were physically awarded our transparency certificate of excellence, along with, I believe it was about seven other districts. So that was great for the district, and we've been working hard on increasing our transparency. We're still recruiting for our maintenance technician. We have one conditional offer out there. He's going through the reference checks and background checks, and we hope to have him on staff here within the next couple weeks. And then we're going to be holding interviews hopefully within the next 2 weeks for our third position. Mission Country Disposal is doing their cleanup week from October 7th through the 11th, which allows for 6 additional bags of trash. Our coastal development permit, I've shared this in our GM letter, but we have submitted it successfully to the county, and we are working with them through the process, along with submitting our in-stream flow study. We updated our land use application that has been received, and they are now communicating with stakeholders, several of them that I would say about 90% of them are on the TAC committee. And so there has been some public comments about us coordinating with the TAC committee on this project description and the CDP application. The process flow is actually submitting the application to the county. Then the county confers with those stakeholders and gets their input. And then the county will come back to us and we'll continue to work with them. We, as we know from our last board meeting, approved the contract adjustment change order for SWCA to continue to work on our AMP and our EIR addendum, compliance memo, and policy consistency analysis. Currently, we've submitted everything to the county, and we do not have an information hold. We did have one information hold, which was to update that land use application because it was dating back to 2020. We updated that pretty swiftly, and that's been submitted. So we'll continue to work with the county as we move this process forward. And with that, I'll leave it there. Take any questions.
Any questions from the directors? Yeah, I didn't. I have a couple. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. Yes, I appreciate General Manager McElhaney and pointing out what the comment I wanted to make on Columbus Day. I don't believe it's referred to as Columbus Day anymore. It's Indigenous Peoples Day. So I thought I'd make that correction. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Furman. And I'm working with Mr. Carmel on the processes for that. I did try to do some research after our conversation. President Biden in 2021 declared October 11th Indigenous People Day. But I think Columbus Day is still a federal holiday that lands on October 14th. I could be wrong. So there's two holidays there. One of the Indigenous People Day that CCSD does not recognize at the moment. But if the board would like us to work in some sort of a meet confer fashion with union staff to perhaps swap the Columbus Day that is our current holiday to the Indigenous People Day, I'll work with district council and the board.
I didn't realize it was going to be that complicated. Since it's a lot easier for me to recognize Indigenous peoples that still exist on the planet, and Columbus is no longer here. And well, I won't make any further comment. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, Dr. Farmer? Get your on there.
Not right now. I'll let other people comment.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question. This is just a question for clarification, I think, under the CDP project description section. I think this is something we just did. When you say in September, we will bring forward a scope change to allow our consultant, SWCA, to begin working on several updates, including the AMP, EIR addendum, compliance memo, and policy consistency analysis. That was our action we took last week, right?
That's correct. Yeah, okay, good. And we create the staff reports to be vetted from council a week ahead of time.
So yeah,
just in case something changed, it's a little redundant there, but yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a kind of a comment actually on the disposal cleanup week, because I don't know what, if there's any, if the fees that what they charge for the special pickup are under our franchise agreement, but we noticed we called on to have some bulky items picked up and noticed that the rate has gone up a lot. It was about $13, $14 before, and now it's about $40. So I don't know if that's covered. I don't think it's covered in our franchise agreement, but it seems to be an area. And I don't know how many people want like old, you know, beat up furniture taken away and so forth. But, and I'm not sure about the bulky item. I mean, the extra bags too, if that is, there's a charge to that, but I was wondering about the what say we have in that essentially.
I'll double check with administrative department manager, Ms. Fritz, on the franchise fees as far as covering bulk items. It's my belief, and I can double check, I'm not certain that this is a service they offer for the six bags. I don't think they charge extra for that. That's, they'll do that yearly, but I can follow up with you on your other question.
That's good. Thank you. Is there any public comment on the general manager's report, either from those in attendance here or those online?
No.
Okay, thank you. We can move on. Everybody's done here. To the next item, which I think is the would be the utilities report, right? Let me see. Anyway, well, wait a second. There's also facilities and managers report, which in this is in. You want to say, yeah, you know, because Mr. McElhenney will be covering this today, I know. So,
well, Mr. Geary is actually here, and he's going to do a just brief verbal report.
Okay.
I did speak.
Well, there he is. Yes, I'm sorry.
With the board, Mr. Geary is really short-staffed right now, and so at the moment, he's not really doing a physical report within the agenda. He's been doing verbal reports. When time allows, he's been doing PowerPoints.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, he's so resource-strapped that we're giving a bit of a break on the actual physical written report and presentation, but he is here today to present verbally.
Yeah. Mr. Geary, didn't see you back there. Yeah, thank you for making the report.
Thank you, President Gray, board and staff. As you can tell, we are down two guys. So our current employee and myself, we've slowed down quite a bit, but we're still moving forward. We're tackling a lot of different things that have we've actually been neglecting and getting ready for the winter. I know right now, currently, last week, I put a manual together for our future employees and their current employees in regards of our plumbing issues that we've been having with the public restrooms, the whole diaphragm, stuff of that nature. It's been foreign to us. We've always leaned on to one individual that was been here for years and knows the whole setup. Since he has stepped away, kind of left us in the dark. So I've actually taken upon myself to turn around and reach out to manufacturers and also vendors and getting diaphragms and teaching them how to do that. So we've been working on that in one set of the bathrooms, and he's gotten pretty good at it right now. So it's a good plus of training him so that we don't have to call in a plumber for contracting on that end. We've been yesterday, I believe it on Monday this week, we turned around and went over to Lampkin Cliffs, removed all the old sand that's been dumped there for years. I know I've gotten quite a few comments and concerns and emails and text messages in regards of the previous sand that was taken over the parking lot. We did pull out roughly about 22 yards of debris out of there of the dirt and the sand, and we disposed of that within certain areas that we needed it within the CCSD. So once we cleaned that this morning, the public sand got dropped off in the same location. So they backfilled it. So I believe that is going to be one of the normal places where the county drops for the public sand for the winter. So we just got to be a little more diligent and understand that we're going to probably have to clean that out once the end of the winter is over. They also dropped the other one there at the dog park this morning where it says public sand on the way in. We're out doing wood chipping right now and doing some back cleaning of some of the buildings that we have just to make sure it's all clear. And we're getting ready, like I said, for the winter. We're looking into putting more chips down on the East Branch. I know we did a section of it, and that's something that we're going to be probably continuing next week. I know there's several other things that we've been part of, but like I said, it's been literally hands on the ground for the past 4 weeks, because I know the first individual that left on, what was that, July 29th, we've been struggling. And now with this last one was a pretty serious blow. We'll be continuously moving forward and doing everything that we can, to prep for the winter and make sure everything's taken care of and public safety on that one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions from the board? Dr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Geary. And I just wanted to add to your comment. I think we heard you say we've slowed down. And I think what you mean is between you and Oscar, you are working like crazy, mm-hmm. but with just two in two open seats, the progress is slowed down. But from what I've seen, the two of you sure haven't. So thank you for all the efforts. And you're saying the county just dropped off another load of sand yesterday?
Correct. I know we've been in contact,
Haley,
and been in contact with the county and stuff, and we haven't really got a set date. But when they pulled up this morning, I figured that was today. So yeah, they dropped them off. So yeah, but we're good to go. The county's covered and they're ready to go. Just got to make sure they bring your own sandbags and a shovel for that one.
Yeah, and I'll get with you offline, but wood chips in the East Ranch, it sounds like opportunity for a volunteer work party. So on one of these Wednesdays, so I'll get with you offline on that.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks. And I do want to say, I got to do a shout out for Oscar Mora, who's actually been, trucking along right along with me in regards of all this. He's been very open-eared in looking at different things. Really putting him in the midst of everything, because I know we usually have an individual that would help us out, like follow his lead. And now Oscar is the lead, and more or less in that role. But I know I've actually taken a lot more time away from the office and going out with him and actually walking through everything, that so that way everything's being covered. And that's my biggest concern. So that way, once we get the new employees on, we understand that we're all on the same page when it comes to safety and the equipment. And that's one thing that I am putting together in manuals for our incoming and also for our current employees.
Thank you. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. I don't know if I'm moving forward a little too quickly here under the general manager report, under the coastal development permit project description. So I believe General Manager McNahaney commented earlier that the information hold, where it says we're on page 13.
I think we're doing that. That's that was the general manager's report, right?
Yeah.
We're in F&R now. So I bet you can ask about that in the utilities manager's report, I would think.
Okay, yeah.
We'll get to that.
My apologies for being a little bit confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Dr. Dean.
I want to thank Mr. Aguirre for his dedication to his job during these hard times of not having enough help. Thank you so much. I know you're doing the best you can, and we really appreciate it. And I hope you find some new employees to help out soon. But thank you so much for all the effort that you put into this job.
Mm-hmm. And I want to second that. I actually had a question about the public sand. It's in the past, it's always been at the rodeo grounds dog park area, right? That is it new for the county to use Lambton Cliffs as a?
I'm not 100% sure. I know the year that I've been here, that's where they dumped it, and that's what it continuously from the neighbors from there. It's there, and also at the fire department. I know there was a drop off there at one point. I don't know if it's still current.
Yeah, I mean, Ms. Dodson is shaking her head. What's the history of that? Because I've always thought of it, you go to the rodeo grounds, and there's a lot of room there, to back up and fill sand bags and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. I would always work with Carlos, and we'd have two dumps. One would be at the Lambton's Cliff Park, and the other would be at Rodeo Grounds.
Okay.
So that's the direction I gave Slo County when they said they had free sand available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm duly educated on that. Thank you. Any public comment on this report? Ms. Heinrichs. Thank you. Thank you, David. Mr. Gary.
Yes, let me add my thanks to Mr. Gary for doing such a great job. And recently, the district cut the janitorial service that was assisting in facilities and resources in cleaning the public restrooms. Considering the shortage of staff, this might be a time to consider rehiring the janitors to assist in keeping those restrooms clean. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comment online?
No.
And no more comment from those in attendance? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Geary. Moving on now to the finance manager's report.
Thank you, President Gray. Before you, you have agenda item 5C, which is the finance manager's report detailing the activity for August 2024. In 6A, you have the expenditure report. We also have the compensation for the board of directors that was paid during the month of August, and all the cash balances from our unrestricted and restricted accounts. I have reiterated and detailed out the information about our new administration offices that the general manager touched on, and there was no activity. I have the balances in there for the SST projects, but we had no activity as far as payment goes in the month of August. I would say the finance staff was were focused on, you know, so we closed out the year preparing for the audit, as well as getting the office ready for the administrative moves. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Yeah, I got to actually have a question. It's about a, it's been raised by some members of the public who are, want to know a little more detail about the change in our income from invested assets. Under the new system, essentially, under the new management, and what has actually happened, like how much has been, you know, how much has been increased and so forth. Could you address that, or you or Mr. McElhinney? Who wants to do it? Okay. Mr. McElhinney?
Sorry. Confirming with my team.
Yeah.
How would you like me to frame it in terms of?
Well, I guess the big question is how much. I mean, it's complicated to figure out how much we've gained if over what we would have gotten if we'd kept the old system. That's trickier. I mean, we know exactly how much. I think we know what we have gained from it, and of course, part of it's interest rates going up, but part of it isn't too.
So maybe I'll jump in a little bit here. So what we have so far is we don't have a full year's of activity with the new system. So there's a little bit of apples and oranges when trying to compare. We don't have a full year. I will at the end of the September get an updated report from our investment advisors, and that will be a full year. So what I've calculated is we have about a 45% increase compared to a full year's of activity in 22-23. Mm-hmm. So I think we may be better served, since there are so many questions, is maybe providing within my finance manager's report some sort of metric or, you know, detail that can let people know how much that we are earning in any given month, or some way to better reflect that. So far, we have the quarterly reports from our investment advisors that I include. Those are only quarterly. Mm-hmm. So maybe we would be better served in that way to have a little more consistent reporting in whatever those questions may be regarding our investment strategy at this point.
Yeah, thank you. Another related question. This isn't about numbers so much, but if you could sort of sum up the advantages of having our current management investment management kind of customized to us versus having the same amount of money in the state treasurer's big pools like the LAIF. Like, what is the advantage of having, in terms of return, essentially, of having this independent management we have now?
Well, our returns have definitely increased.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, comparing a full year's of activity versus the three quarters that I have under our new system, it was a 45% increase in returns, which is quite substantial. So I think we've been diversifying. There's, you know, I think you understand, President Gray, and a lot of us, like, investment strategy and being in the investment world is a career all on itself, and you have your experts and everything. And so just having the support, that is not my area of expertise. So bringing in the support for, you know, a minimal cost to help us best invest all of the money that we have accumulated. And we definitely are seeing an increase from our old strategy, which actually I think opened us up to a little more. It was not diversified. It was all in one bucket. So it was actually a little more precarious. I think now we're a little diversified. We have a little more safety in our investments, and we're, in turn, we are earning more returns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I think it clarifies things quite well. Any more questions from the board members? Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And by bringing that question up, it brings to mind perhaps one of the other intangibles of contracting with the optimized investment partners. I had the impression that they help optimize how much funds are in current cash accounts versus various terms, and that takes a lot of load and workload off of you. Is that and increases our safety and security? Is that correct?
Yes. So I work with them monthly. They get all of our cash balances and they analyze them, and then they suggest where how much we should move over or if we should not move over, just based upon previous cash flows. So they're analyzing cash flows. And I would say in our old system, that didn't happen at all. They and we actually held a lot of cash just in a money market account that was sitting at Pacific Premier Bank. We didn't even really move a lot of cash over to LAIF on a consistent basis. So this really is utilizing our cash to the best of its ability to earn money for the district. And they are involved with us monthly to analyze our cash balances.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Director Thomas. Any other questions? Well, thank you. I'll ask for a public comment. If anybody wants to comment on this report, who's here in attendance? Anyone online?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Fritz. Move on now to the utilities report. Mr. Green.
Good afternoon. Thank you, President Gray. We'll begin with wastewater activities for the month of August. You can, if you guys looked over, you can see the pictures. We drained all 1.3 million gallons of our effluent ponds. We cleaned the ponds, drained them, put them back into service. We had a transducer, a level there, which was dirty. And when we went to fill back up the ponds, it wasn't indicating the proper level. So that was removed, clean, reinstalled, and those ponds are back in service again. This is all a part of wet season preparation, which I think we had a little bit of the rain today here. So a little bit ahead of schedule, but not much. Our SST project finally got some things underway there, and the SCADA control panel was updated with our automations and Southland engineers. Also, we replaced the rotating assembly in the pump for lift station A1 there on Nottingham. Water department was busy for the majority of the month replacing service lines. We're still kind of in that leak season where the ground's really dry and the leaks happen mostly on service lines. So we replaced several service lines that leaked. That's our protocol when we find those leaks. If we can replace that service line from meter to main, we're going to go ahead and take advantage of that time and do that. And we were able to do that. One of them was on Main Street. I don't know if you guys know this, but we had a great deal of Main Street on the west side of the street blocked off. And we replaced almost 100 feet of service line that stretched all the way from the east side of Main Street to the west side of Main Street. We put in a larger service line there because it tees off and it goes to several businesses there. So we gave a little bit larger flow, and the larger service line is also a little thicker wall, so it'll be a little bit safer, or actually a lot safer for as far as future leaks are concerned in the future. Also, we completed 2 months early our lead and copper inventory report. We are going to post that to our website. And it is available at the Division of Drinking Water's website where it's listed there. So I can give you the short story on that is we don't have any lead or in our service lines or in our mains right now. So it was a fairly quick report as far as nothing to report, but we still had to physically go and verify the service line or the service lines after the meter to the main coming into the house. So it was a little bit task heavy there, but our operators were quick to get that done. And we worked with our consultant, Trupani, to package this up nicely so that way addresses and locations are very easy to query. So you can check and see if you've got lead or copper in there. Our water supply right now is year to date at the end of August. We've diverted 31% of our San Simeon and Santa Rosa 42%. So we're right in line with that there. In fact, a little bit under, but we did have an increase in acre feet in August over last year's August by about 1.1. So not a huge increase, but I think anybody that lives around here or drove around could tell that August was a busy month for us, and a lot of transient population was coming in. So the hotels were full, and so we used a little bit more water. And that's about all I have for the brief synopsis over the report. So if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer for you.
Any questions from the directors? I think Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Green, for a great report. When you're doing your report, will you please refer to pages?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray, and I agree. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Green. Great, the clarity of the report is very clear. A couple questions on page 32. Up at the top, municipal maintenance equipment. I notice on the expenditure report, something like $864 for the equipment and for the repair that you completed. Boy, what a bargain between that and staff. So thanks for that. It's using the district funds wisely. And yeah, great work out on East Ranch. I've walked that area. You could really see the raised sewer manhole covers and the ones that will not permit inflow. So that's great. And the clearing. I did want to ask about. I noticed on the where you go from the East Ranch to the West Ranch, mm-hmm. at the start of the Santa Rosa Creek Trail, where you go through the gate over on the left side, there was like one humongous pile of brush, and I wonder is that where the cleared willows ended up? And
no, they were hauled off at that time. Yeah, I'm not sure where that originated from.
And all right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Director Farmer, also you had a question you were going to raise at the an earlier report, which might be appropriate here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And so I'm going to do that. But first, I want to just mention on page 37, and the new presentation of the projects and the project description, that type of thing, is really nice. It would be nice if there was a header up at the top that just indicated, this is a project. I know it says project description status there, but if there was something above that that made it more apparent to us, and maybe what I'm pointing out here isn't relevant at all, but it just seemed to me there should have been something further above that. It's probably not that important. Yeah, so what I wanted to ask, and my apologies for my awkward timing here. So going back to page 13, and I know the General Manager McElhaney kind of referred to this, but I just wanted to briefly touch base on the Coastal Development Permit Project Description. And I believe Mr. McElhaney referenced the fact that the information on hold has been dealt with, and that's not a problem anymore with regard to the adaptive management plan. And I would imagine that many people that are in this room today probably already understand what I'm about to ask about. But just for a little bit more clarity, about halfway down on page 13, under paragraph, I could say 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, where it says the coastal development permit application submittal is only the beginning of the next chapter in this project. So if you could just briefly elaborate on what is the next chapter in this project, and what kind of time frame are we relating, should we be anticipating?
So as General Manager described earlier before, we submit our project description and the according attachments. And being the land use provider of the county is, they send that out to the other agencies. That was sent out on Monday, and they have till October 1st to reply. So they have 14 days. that kind of begins the next chapter of our response to them or their concerns.
And then I'll follow up on that, Director Farmer. So as far as the next chapters, there's probably two fronts we're working on. As Mr. Green stated, you know, that is sent out to the other stakeholders for their comments and input, which the county will gather, and then they'll come back to this CCSD for follow-up questions. And then our piece that we kind of discussed a little bit already with our consultant is updating our adaptive management plan, updating our EIR addendum, our compliance memo, and policy consistency analysis. And so the 2020 information hold, we use that as a roadmap for moving this project forward. And some of those information hold items from 2020 will be addressed in the AMP addendum, EIR addendum, compliance memo, policy consistency analysis. The current application, the county did not submit a similar information hold. We have it, we're aware of it, we're using that as a roadmap for some of our other consultants to address. But currently, that is the only information hold we had in the initial project submission was for an updated land use application, which we submitted and completed. And so right now, we're just waiting on the county's response after they reach out to the stakeholders. And again, October 1st
is the deadline.
So that will be the deadline for their responses. Then the county will come back to us and we'll start working again on that piece.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Just to follow up on that question, actually, too, about the updates. This is going back to the same page Director Farmer was on, but with the additional SWCCA work. When do you expect all those to be completed? The updates, including, you know, the AMP, the IR addendum, the ones you mentioned.
Thank you, President Gray. They quoted us a 45-day turnaround. You know, obviously, depending on who they're using, you know, there could be delays. I mean, but they did quote us a 45-day window for that update. That contract was fully executed and signed because they still had to update us with their insurance. So they updated us with their current insurance certificate of insurance, which was yesterday, and we fully executed that contract. So work was able to begin as of yesterday. So theoretically, the 45-day clock would start as of yesterday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I guess we'll go back. Mr. Green, have anything further or any more questions of Mr. Green or on the utilities report specifically? Okay, go ahead, Director Farmer.
I think this would fit into water and wastewater. Could we have an update perhaps on the work that Merck Corporation is doing for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So Merck was called in end of last year to pick up our quarterly AMP. So that's our adaptive management plan, just analysis. So they go in, they measure creek flow, they take measurements, they bird counts, so forth along those lines. And so he's gathered that data for us this year. He's just been very slow in producing a report to us. As of right now, we are flying for start of next year, AMP work, so biologist work, specifically data gathering and report deliverables. So right now we're seeking other sources to assist. He's a fantastic biologist. He's just a little slow with deliverables, and obviously that's not going to work for us here, especially in regards to this.
So you say your endeavor to find another consultant to assist in this? Is that what you just said?
We are. Merck biologist is a fantastic biologist. I think he just has too much on his plate right now. Again, he's completed the data gathering. We just need those reports turned in. I want to remind everybody that this isn't a regulatory compliance document. This is an internal document that we use. This is mandatory when we have operations of the WRF. So we have a lot of time of data gathering and reports for no operation for basically 6 to 8 years now, right? So going forward, we want to have a good relationship with a great biologist who can produce these reports during operation and off-cycle operation that we can present to you guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Farmer.
And President Gray, wanted to follow up on that. Mr. Green brings up a great point. This is our self-monitoring program, the district itself. monitoring its own adaptive management plan. And like Mr. Green said, this is not a regulatory requirement. This is not the something that the Coastal Commission has asked for or the county has asked for. This is us monitoring our pumping, which we all know hasn't occurred in quite a long time. So he's monitoring the status quo. And we do that as a self-check tool. Unfortunately, we're still kind of waiting on that latest report. And so as we move forward with the CDP application, we're going to be bringing before the board an RFP for a new biologist that has more time on their hands that can help us continue this monitoring process. But we are not behind on any submittals. These biological reports are not being asked to be submitted to the county or the Coastal Commission or anything like that. This is our own self-governing, self-monitoring tool, which the district has taken upon itself.
I just further question for clarification on that. The relationship of this activity you're talking about, the AMP monitoring, data collection and data analysis, is that independent of the CDP process, or does it eventually feed into it? But not at this point. How does that work?
During operations, it'll be a crucial piece.
But that's down when we actually operate.
That's during operation.
Yeah,
that's when we see what impacts, if any, we have. And then we make that, you know, alternate choice to either increase flow to our mitigation line or cease pumping or, you know, several different operational moves you can make.
If there's no other director's questions, I had one question on for clarification on pages 28 and 29. Where we list the SST project developments and the various modules of it. I was a little confused by whether these are a list of things that were done that have been done or need to be done, because sometimes the way they're stated, like it says piping supports and spot repairs to the tank must be performed before exterior coating. Does that mean this has not been completed yet or something? But then you say, established a bypass route for flow during installation. So are these a list of things that have been completed or are pending or what?
Very good. So this is just a list of what's going to go on for each of these ECMs, these energy conservation mm-hmm. modules. Any updates to that, we'll kind of treat it like our project list mm-hmm. where the updates will be in purple.
Oh, okay.
So unfortunately right now, the only update we have is that SCADA control center panel.
Okay. With no further questions from the board, I'll turn this over to public comment. Is there anyone here in attendance? Mr. Heinrichs.
Thank you, President Gray. I have a question I could ask through you. If Jim Gray could, Green could ask or provide information concerning how long the pump on page 30. Number two of the lift station A has lasted, and how long does it have to be replaced periodically during your maintenance schedule?
Mr. Green?
Very good. Yeah. That was installed in 1995, and that is the first replacement of that we performed. I'm not sure the duty cycle on it. Obviously, the environment on the coast is rather hard on metal and pumps and exterior features like that. So I think if we got, you know, almost 30 years out of it, I expect to get another 30 out of that replacement.
Well, the question was this a maintenance item to be projected, or was this found out when it failed?
It didn't fail, but our gallons per minute was reduced. So we took a look at it and we found that rotating assembly was beginning to fail. So then it was replaced at that time.
It's trying to see how often they get changed and spares you have to support it when it does happen.
Yeah. Thank you. Any more comment from people in attendance? Please come forward.
Just a quick comment on this.
Yeah. If you state your name.
Christina.
Oh, Christina. Okay, good. Thank you.
As of Tuesday, the county had not sent out the referrals. So it looks like coastal development permit for Cambria. Staff received resubmittal of the project description, and staff will be sending out the referral this week. That will include NCAC. So that's the what our liaison sent on Tuesday. So just the expectations that those dates might be a little further out. So I don't believe the county sent this out to anybody yet.
I have a 340 correspondence from Daniel Chavez, sending this to all the concerned parties. It's 340 on Tuesday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe...
Just before we go any further, comments have to be addressed to the chair.
Oh, sorry.
I can refer them if it's appropriate.
Interesting. Yeah. So, well, maybe we should both just follow up.
Yeah. And Vice President Scott.
I don't want to be rude, but who are you?
Christina Galloway.
Yeah, it's Christina Galloway, but it's
Cambria.
Cambria.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also on the NCAC committee.
Awesome.
Yeah. So,
but something of a new face at these meetings, though. You've been speaking for a little while, but you're somewhat new to these meetings, I think.
I don't know. I've been on the NCAC for about 2 years.
NCAC, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're happy to have you here. Yes.
Yeah. and President Gray, I would just encourage Ms. Galloway, if you'd like to PRR, we can get that email from Ms. Chavez.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because last week we were talking about why do deadlines get extended and yada yada and delays with the county. So just on the front end saying this is the very front end, it doesn't appear that we've received what we should have. Mm-hmm. The email I have from the county is saying that they'll be sending it out this week. So just already expecting that there might be a delay, but understanding that you guys might have received something different.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Just another more comment. I think we've been used to seeing you've been online a lot.
Yeah,
you've been seeing online a lot. So I think we're seeing you, and we're all used to seeing you in person here. Yeah. That might be.
Well, this isn't my day job, so.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for speaking. Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, given the conversation, I just wanted to inquire as the NCAC vice chair and also as a member of the NCAC Land Use Committee, Ms. Galloway, it interfaces with the county and reports to the NCAC on land use issues. And is there a convenient way that she can learn what she needs to learn from our end beyond public records requests?
Director, I'm in frequent conversation with Mrs. Galloway. We just got this letter from Mrs. Chavez yesterday about it being forwarded to the stakeholders. I didn't see the email thread to see if NCAC was on there, but I'm happy to coordinate with Mrs. Galloway and keep her up to date.
Thank you. Any more comment? People in attendance? Anyone? Any comment online?
No.
Okay. I think we are ready to move on to the consent agenda, unless I'm mistaken here. This is the procedure in the consent agenda is that all matters on this agenda are to be approved with one motion. If a director wishes to discuss an item other than simple clarifying questions, and I would include any simple clarifications of the minutes and so forth. Anything beyond that, request for removal may be made, and then the those items are taken up after the consent calendar as a whole is acted upon. So first of all, are there any requests to pull an item from the directors? Director Dean?
I'd like to pull item 6C, please.
Okay, we will pull item 6C. And so we're dealing now with 6A, 6B, 6D, and 6E. These are just for questions for clarification or minor corrections. Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. So about halfway down on page 63, perennial capital for the month of August, $199,690.50. I'm assuming that's Paradise Tree Service. That's quite a bit of money for all the first. They've done a great job. So I will acknowledge that. But This is even more money than our general manager makes in a year. And I'd like to know how, and it's probably self-explanatory, but how do we go about getting the funds from the ratepayers, or let's say the property owner, who needs to now pay us for the work that was done by, if I'm stating this correctly, by the work that was done by Paradise Tree Service? How confident that we can we be that we're going to get this roughly $200,000 back from the property owners?
Mr. McElhaney, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Director Farmer.
Is that a fair question?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. It's the same process that we've used in the past, although with a different contractor. So our administration department will start to send out those bills to the lot owners who failed their inspections and had Paradise Tree Service conduct the work. We'll send an initial letter, and then there's administrative fee assigned if it doesn't get, and Ms. Fritz will be able to detail out the exact dates on when it's due, but we start sending out those bills. There's a first letter, second letter, I believe, and then if it is not paid, then it goes on the county tax roll, and it is paid through property taxes and returned to the district the following year. Did I summarize that enough? Nailed it. Okay.
I guess my concern is that, and I think this has already been acknowledged here at a previous board meeting or meetings, this is a far greater amount than our previous vendor had been charging for this type of work. And I'm just wondering what the reaction is from the property owner when they get this new new improved bill, so to speak.
Yeah, thank you, Director Farmer. It will be unpleasant for staff for the next 6 months as we deal with sending out these bills, and especially Chief Berkey, who will be getting the brunt of the feedback.
Right.
However, the district took a particularly strong stance about weed abatement this year compared to previous years, and we needed a contractor that could act swiftly and conduct the work swiftly. The district made every attempt it could to connect with the lot owners through social media, mailed letters. I mean, if we all remember, we were putting a blast out every other week to where even our own staff was getting eye rolls. They still had to see that weed abatement notice. So we made every effort to advise them. We even put in those letters how the cost is going to be significantly increased. And unfortunately, these are the ramifications. And it's our hope that although it might be painful, that it will motivate future lot owners as we approach the weed abatement deadlines for 2025 and 26. But it probably will not be well received. But it's a public safety issue. And we did our absolute best in trying to communicate the importance of these weed abatement deadlines and to weed abate their lots.
Thanks for that. That definite explanation. And I just wish Chief Berkey and your staff all the best in working through this in the coming months. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Dr. Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray. One potential change, page 74 on the minutes of the August 15 board meeting. I think President Gray was not properly quoted in this context, where under President's report, it says he stated that written correspondence will be at the President's discretion. And as worded, that sounds ominous. And in fact, what he stated is that reading written correspondence orally during board meetings will be at the President's discretion.
Yeah.
And there has been some controversy over that, but clearly that is one of the problems of the board president. But I think we should rephrase that one sentence.
Yeah, I would, Director Thomas actually brought that to my attention. I would say the easiest, maybe the quickest revision would be after he stated that, insert reading of, and then written correspondence, and after written correspondence, say aloud during board meetings. Just insert those two phrases, those words, and that would clarify what I said.
Same meaning.
Yeah, same meaning. Any other questions or brief, Director Dean?
OK,
Okay, I have a couple of questions here on the expenditure report. I've had a couple of people express concern with the amount that we paid Carmel Nakasha this month. What was that extra amount for?
Thank you, Director Dean. We actually had a accounts payable snafu in terms of missing a payment to Mr. Carmel and Akasha, so we had to make a double payment.
Okay. And then I have a couple more.
Sure.
Okay. I've also seen questions about the $19,422 payment to Coast Unified School District, since we did already purchase a lease. Easement access.
Yeah. Thank you, Director Dean. So those payments are actually a result during the negotiation process. The CUSD, we were sending them lease payments while we were going through the mediation and negotiations. They held those checks, and several of those checks actually expired. So when we finalized the agreement, we had to reissue 3 to 4 months worth of checks, in addition to the $5,000 appraisal fee, which was a part of the agreement. So that was old payments that weren't cash that we finally had to reissue.
Okay, thank you.
Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray. Yeah, on those payments to the CUSD, somewhere on social media, I saw recently a claim that this was for the purchase of the property, and just wanted to reiterate, the CCSD has not purchased that property. The CUSD retains ownership. This was purely for a long-term lease for.
You know what? It's probably it's an easement. We own
easement.
Exactly. Yes. We have access. We bought access to the well site and the related sites, you know, because we have a little road that's going to go there and so forth. We have access on their property, just like you have a PG&E has a power line outside your house. It's your property, but they have an easement, the same kind of thing. So. Good. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for raising that point. Dr. Farmer.
Yeah, my apologies here for wanting to make another comment. So I believe Director Dean wanted to pull 6C. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So can I ask a question about 6D?
Yes.
So UMPQA, I'd be curious to know a little bit more about UMPQA, their reputation, any kind of referrals that other agencies might have given with regard to the quality of product that they've gotten from UMCO, so to speak, and how large of a bank is this? Just curious, considering we're going to be involved with them, I'd have liked to have a little bit more information on them. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Anybody wish to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give the UMCO story.
Thank you, Dr. Farmer. So we're switching credit card providers. That's all they really are managing are district credit cards. The limits aren't changing. It's just the card provider. We've had a less than optimal relationship with our current credit card provider. I met Anastasia. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her last name, or I would be more professional on that end, but I met Anastasia at a couple different conferences, and they have several different clients. She's been really responsive in helping answer our questions, and so we decided to switch credit card providers. She is on Zoom and is prepared to answer any questions if you would like.
I think just the fact that she's on Zoom is kind of answers my question, so to speak. Yeah, if she just wants to introduce herself and just say a couple of words about the institution that she works for, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and hello. Thank you for inviting me to your meeting. Just real quickly, Umpqua Bank has been around on the West Coast since 1953. They started in South Umpqua as South Umpqua State Bank and has grown. We like to now refer to ourselves as one of the largest small banks. So we still have personalized service. you can see I'm here. And we still like to pride ourselves as, you know, running like a community bank, but we offer all the big bank services. One of the things we did probably about 10 years ago was partner with the CSDA Association that you guys are a member of. And we created a commercial card product, and we partner with them so that we're able to provide smaller districts the big bank type commercial card. So, and then also get other bells and whistles with the card that you smaller districts don't generally get. So that's how we did it. And we've been working, partnering with the California Special Districts for probably about 10 years now, and it's very well received. I have, and I can send them to the general manager. I have a couple testimonials from customers. If you need that, you can reach out to them. The product is, you know, kind of speaks for itself once it gets up and running with the district.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I believe that the closest bank to us is in Templeton, correct?
Of course, there's Umpqua Bank in Templeton.
Umpqua, yes. Yeah.
There's an Umpqua Bank in Templeton, and then there's one in Paso Robles. So, okay. Yeah, well, we don't have a vast branch network.
Right.
You know, as we all learned in 2020, there's a lot of things you can do online.
Right. Well, obviously, nobody needs to go to your branch in Templeton to use their card. So,
no.
Thank exactly. you.
Exactly. But I certainly would love it if you wanted to move your banking relationship to Umpqua.
You probably, yeah, my huge bank account. I don't even think I could carry it over there. But thank you so much.
And I'll take the district's bank accounts as well.
Thank you. We heard you there. Thank you very much. Thank you for being available for questions.
No problem. Any other question?
I don't think we have any among the directors. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will open up the, with no further questions from the directors, I'll open up this topic. This is items 6A, B, D, and E to public comment. Is there anyone in attendance here who wishes to comment on any of these four items? Anybody online, Ms. Dodson?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll bring it back to the board for a motion and second. Dr. Dean.
I move that we approve consent agenda items 6A, 6B, 6D, and 6E.
Second.
And that will be with a one change to the minutes as described in our discussion. I believe Ms. Dodson has that in hand, right? Yeah, okay, good. It's been moved and seconded that the consent agenda items A, B, D, and E be approved. Ms. Dodson, roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Moving on to the one item that was pulled, item 6C.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Apologize, but this is sort of back under agenda review, and I've noticed that several people have arrived, and I'm just, my hunch is they're interested in the skate park topic 7B. And it's your discretion if you want to move that up. That's just my hunch why they're here.
A show of hands as to why, I can recognize some people here. You know, it probably is best to, we can shift it because it's not, you know, at this point, there's no reason we can't. So we will just take item 6, B before, no, it's 7. Yeah, it's 7B, right? No, I'm sorry. 7B before 7A, I believe. Yeah.
And of course, we still have the
6C.
We have 6C to do. Then we might take a short break, and right at the break, we can do 7B.
Good.
Okay. So let's move on to 6C.
Don't we need a roll call?
We had a roll call for the consent agenda already. Yeah, consent item rather. Yeah, consent items. Yeah. Director Dean, you might want to. Lead off things because you were going to want it pulled.
Would you like me to introduce?
You want to do it? We can introduce it. Yeah.
Thank you, President Gray. Mm-hmm. Agenda item 6C, consideration to approve an amendment to the general manager position description. The policy committee met on June 27th, 2024 to review and discuss the role of the general manager policy and recommend that the following information be inserted onto page 2 of the document under policy execution. It's a small adjustment that speaks to the district's strategic plan. And with that, I will turn it over to Director Dean.
Yeah, thank you. And Director Dean, yes.
Okay. To me, the way this is worded seems like it's restricting the role of the general manager just to achieve the goals and objectives of the district strategic plan, when we also assign him other goals beyond the strategic plan, other things to, projects to achieve. And so it just seems a little bit restrictive to me, just saying simply as indicated in the strategic plan. Maybe it should say and or directed by the board. That's one thing. The other thing is, this is not a policy. In the past, whenever we have done a general manager recruitment, we have formed an ad hoc committee of the board to review the general manager's position description, and it has been brought before the board for approval. To me, this general manager's position description is under the purview of the board. It is not a policy, so I'm not sure why it went to the policy committee. If you read the policy committee's bylaw, it says review existing operational and governance policies that the board has identified as requiring assessment, update, or organization for consistency with other existing policies. Identify potential areas of policy needs not currently addressed in the CCSD policy handbook and develop needs assessment regarding impact due to lack of policy and immediacy of need. Committee chair shall provide a needs assessment to the board members for consideration, and if the board determines a policy is required, the board shall proceed according to policy number 1000, adoption amendment of policies, and for policies to be included in the district policy handbook. The policy handbook checklist adopted on November 10th, 2022, and support other standing committees policy review needs. To me, this is not a policy. This is something that is totally under the purview of the board. And maybe we can get some clarification on my statement from district council.
I'll go to district council now, then I think we'll do public comment and come back for discussion and listen to more. But if there are no more questions, we can go to public comment after we hear from. Okay, let's hear from council first, though, and then Vice President Scott.
Thank you, President Gray.
Yeah,
I don't think that this fits neatly within the purpose and responsibilities of 1.6.3 that Director Dean just read. I don't think it's a policy. I think it's a position description. Right. But again, the board has discretion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Director Tim, Mr. Carmel. Vice President Scott.
Yes. So thank you, Mr. President. The way that we got to the position specification was we took the list that has been given to the policy committee that says these are the policies, and we ask that you look at the policies that are here and look at do we need those policies within the CCSD. There is a policy in that list that's named the role of the general manager. And when we looked at the role of the general manager, and we definitely included our general manager in this discussion more than once, we decided that we didn't need a policy, that what the best way to underscore that the position of the general manager really does have to do with looking at the district strategic plan and being able to work towards those goals and objectives. So the committee believed that if we bring this to the board, then the board can say, nope, we don't want that change, or we want to change the wording of what's there. But we believe that there was a need already initiated with our getting that list of policies that we needed to look at.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. Interesting discussion. Appreciate this coming up. And of course, we, in my opinion, we appreciate the work of each of the standing committees, and I expect some elasticity of the specific guidelines of what the purview is to be exercised by each chair. I would expect that. And so I'm fine with the fact that they had a look at it. It's certainly our purview what to do with it. Also, on the strategic plan, I just want to reflect that now, in my opinion, the strategic plan isn't just the table that we look at every 6 months. The strategic plan is the mission statement, the vision, the values, et cetera. So the strategic plan is the entire set of expectations that this board has established for the general manager to accomplish. So the statement that, as indicated in the district strategic plan, is so broad as to include whatever necessary to achieve this mission. Now, if we want to add other words and other matters as indicated by the board, I'm fine with that. But I think,
pardon an interruption. I think we're moving into discussion. I do want to bring in public comment if there is anything. We can come back to the discussion here because I think we had quite a bit to talk about. So I will ask if anyone in the attendance here wants to speak. Seeing none, anybody online?
No.
Okay, we can take it back to discussion. I don't know if you want to finish your comment, Director Thomas, or.
Well, thanks. The distinction between what we were doing before and discussion. But I think, you know, my point is simply that achieving goals and objectives as indicated in the strategic plan, well, you know, you bring up a good point. We're saying the goals and objectives as indicated in the district strategic plan. So perhaps it's to achieve the district's strategic plan would be more broad, because when you say the goals and objectives, it does narrow it down to that important but small subset of the strategic plan.
My thought, I guess we can all weigh in, but Dr. Scott, you go first.
I just wanted to say on the record that that we could even change it to include the goals and objectives, but I like what Director Thomas said. Yeah, as far as how to broaden the purview.
Thank you. I do want to pick up though on the larger point that Director Dean was making about the nature of this document here that we're talking about. We have a job description for the general manager that we go on, we operate on. It can be updated, of course. It's within the Power Board to update it. We have a job description for the general manager, which guides our hiring. And as Dr. Dean noted, when we are hiring another general manager, and hopefully we don't have to do that anytime soon, but when we are, we have an ad hoc committee that reviews the job description, which will, you know, obviously it goes out, it gets posted, it's a public document. And so that, even if there's a policy on record that does fit the CSDA, template, and I'll mention, discuss that a little bit in a second, it's still that the job description actually takes precedence over anything that's in here. So I don't know what this accomplishes. And I will admit, Director Vice President Scott has a point about the genesis of this, because policy committee was tasked with going over the California Special Districts Association's, basically their handbook, their model handbook of policies, and just table, table of contents with the numbers for each, and to see if our policies are covering all those topics. And I think in this case, it's a little bit confusing because we do have a document that covers this topic, but it's not a policy, as Director Dean notes. It's the general manager's job description. I would think that there may be a lot of similarities between these two, but I would think that to avoid confusion, that should be the governing document. And even, we could even say in the table of contents under this number, which is, what is it again? It has a CSDA number. It's not listed here. They, you know, refer to the general manager project and job description. So I, well, you know, throw that idea out as a possibility, because you don't want two different things out on, you know, public documents that don't have, are not exactly the same when it talks about the general manager's job description.
And, oh, yeah. Couldn't I speak?
Well, Director Dean first. Director Dean first, then you. Yeah.
You know, the board of directors only has responsibility of hiring two employees, and that is the general manager, and that is our legal counsel. And the board of directors is who creates the job descriptions and the roles of both. And so that is why I did not consider this to be a policy, because this is a document that is normally under the purview of the board for both the general manager and our legal counsel, and it is not actually a policy. I have no objections to adding this wording to this position description, and it is up to the board as a whole whether they want to do that or not. But I do like changing the wording a little bit, because to me it feels restrictive to only doing, since it says goals and objectives of the strategic plan.
President Gray, may I?
Please.
As Vice President Scott noted, there was a very robust conversation when this initial role of the general manager came about, then the position description, and then there was the policy. My interpretation of the policy committee's meetings scaled down was that the public, which is represented through that policy committee, is looking for accountability to strategic plan goals. And so, and we've heard it from the public in terms of nothing gets done and we're, you know, dragging our heels or the dates get pushed. So I think that was the genesis of this small change, was how do we hold the GM accountable in writing for our strategic goals and chipping away at some of these larger projects. That's what I took from it. And so, of course, I'm at the will of the board, and whatever position description needs to be changed, or policy, however the board deems it. But I think that was the genesis of it, is we'd like to see some things get done and have that codified in writing, that my role as a GM is to start working towards achieving these long-term goals. And so that's what I took from it. So take that for what it's worth.
Vice President Scott, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And it's not a policy. It is not a policy. It is a recommendation that the policy committee is making to the board to insert a few words into the description. So if it would behoove the board to put together a ad hoc committee to, if you want to do that, but we're just trying to help. That's all we were trying to do. We looked at the role of the general manager policies of Templeton. And basically what it said was they need to do what's in the strategic plan. So that's how we got to making this kind of a recommendation to the board.
Mm-hmm. Any further comments? Director Thomas.
Yeah, just my thoughts. I mean, goes back to my soccer playing days. An amazing thing happened one day, and the goalie scored. Unbelievable. And we didn't say, sorry, the goal doesn't count. You're not supposed to score. It's just, well, great. To me, close enough. And do we like it? And if it's close enough, we make a slight revision to the wording, and we go with it. If it's not close enough, then we need an ad hoc. But no. Guessing that it might be close enough, how about if I make a motion?
Director Dean first.
I don't think we need an ad hoc. I have no problem with modifying the language. I just want to make the point that this is not a policy and it was supposed to be under the purview of the board.
Yeah. And it went, oh, sorry.
And it will not be in the policy handbook.
Yeah. I think that deals with my issues too. That it's a standalone document. It went through policy committee, but it's not part of the whole policy enterprise. I will suggest a wording, small wording change, but maybe, I don't make, somebody can make a motion, but in that policy execution line, after goals and objectives, comment, just including those indicated in the district strategic plan, because there are things we all also, the general manager is expected to do, like keep the trains running, as it were. Operational excellence, financial, stability, all these things that are not in the goals and objectives that are just basically running things right. So we don't want to say goals and objectives, strategic goals and objectives are everything. But I would say including, the strategic plan, including those in the strategic plan specifically, would cover everything. And I'll suggest that. I'll throw that out there as something if somebody wants to make a motion to that effect.
It feels a bit complex to me, but I will make the motion that we approve the amendment to the general manager project position description with the change that the policy execution read, assisting the CCSD Board of Directors and other community stakeholders identify, work towards, and achieve the district's strategic plan. Striking out from common to as indicated in. That's all superfluous and it's limiting. By saying achieve the district strategic plan, we are being all inclusive.
Director Farmer.
I'll just say that perhaps in this case, as often happens, less is more.
Yeah.
Okay. So and more inclusive, let's say.
So I'm going to second that.
So we repeat the language, please.
It reads, assisting the CCSD Board of Directors and other community stakeholders identify, work toward, and achieve the district's strategic plan.
The only objection I make is achieving a plan seems to be a bit of a misnomer, because it is achieving the goals and objectives of the district strategic. You achieve goals, you reach goals, or you reach objectives, you achieve something. You don't achieve a plan. That's the only thing I would say. We'd have to kind of add maybe a couple of words back.
You do.
Achieve the intent.
And anything you do to limit it, I think, lessens, but...
Anyway, we
have. Well, how about carry out? Yeah. Carry out the district strategic plan.
To carry out.
Carry out the plan.
So I will happily accept the friendly amendment that results in the statement assisting the CCSD Board of Directors and other community stakeholders identify, work towards, and carry out.
Yes.
The district's strategic plan.
Yeah.
That is better.
Sounds
and,
good.
And I'll accept that.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded that the general manager project description be approved, or an amendment, I'm sorry.
Position.
To the general manager position description worded under policy execution as follows, assisting the CCSD Board of Directors and other community stakeholders identify, work toward, and carry out the district strategic plan. Has been moved and seconded. Could I have a roll call?
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Let's have a 10-minute break. I'll come back at 2:55 for the two regular business items. Reconvening. call the meeting back to order. Because of the Director Thomas's very appropriate request to move the 7B forward, we'll take up 7B first, which is discussion and consideration of approval and agreement for consultant services with Spahn Ranch for Inc. for preparation of plans and specifications for the Cambria Skate Park. Mr. McElhaney, could you introduce it?
Absolutely. Thank you, President Gray. Agenda item 7B, discussion and consideration of approval of an agreement for consultant services with Spahn Ranch Incorporated for preparation of plans and specifications for the Cambria Skate Park. We flew a RFP and received two responses. The Spahn Ranch proposal was significantly less expensive. It came in, let me get my numbers correct, it came in at a total of $25,550. The other responsive RFP applicant was the American Ramp Company, and they had a very nice and a very detailed proposal. Both of these proposals were brought forward to our skate park ad hoc committee, working with Mr. Green. That second proposal came in significantly more expensive at $39,500. And so Spahn Ranch came under that price by around $13,950. We have worked with Spahn Ranch in the past. Skate Cambria has worked with Spahn Ranch, and so they were our choice for the proposal. The rest of it is detailed in the staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And we do have Mr. Spahn online to answer any questions as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. McElhaney. Any questions from the board members first? Dr. Farmer.
I don't have any questions, but two thumbs up for Aaron Spahn, having already been to this community a number of times and doing the presentation at Easy as Pie and requesting opinions from the youngsters that were going to be using the park. The guy's an awesome person, and we're just the community should be grateful that he is going to, I believe, is going to be involved in the design and construction of the skate park.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer, Director Farmer. I had one question actually for clarification, just so the public is aware of the process. This is for this particular contract is for plans and kind of like construction drawings, essentially, up to that point. When you get into the construction of the skate park, there's a separate process of bidding for that, isn't there?
That is correct, President Gray. This is for the concept designs and the construction documents. And then when that is complete and we are funded for the skate park, which we are targeting January once we complete some of our documentation for that federal grant, along with Skate Cambria's contributions, then we will fly the second RFP for construction, and that will be an open process.
Right, exactly. So this is not Spahn Ranch doesn't get the whole thing. They get this part of it, and then it's up for competitive bidding for the construction part. Dr. Dean.
I just have a couple of comments about what the ad hoc committee considered. Do you want to talk to Mr. Spahn first, or do you want me to say anything about that?
You can go ahead. Let me talk to him after that.
So we reviewed the RFPs that were sent out and then reviewed the responses from both of the companies that put in proposals. And one of the things that I especially looked at was whether they followed the directions of the RSP and what information we were requesting. Spahn Ranch followed it completely. The other one made it sound like we were totally starting from scratch, that we had never talked to the kids, we had never talked to the public, we had never had any kind of a preliminary plan. So basically it was almost like they wanted to design their own brand new skate park, and they had never done anything this small. Mr. Spahn has had lots of experience. He's had a relationship with this district and with Skate Cambria. He's been here. He's been here when we had an event in the Vets Hall parking lot. He's heard from our youth in our community and the adults in the community. So he's ready to go. And he followed all of the things that we were asking for in the RFP. And there's a big difference in the price. And everybody in this community who's had any contact with him, I'll really like him. He's a good person.
Okay. Thank you. And he's here, right? Aaron Spahn is here online to take questions.
I am here.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for making yourself available. I'll ask if any board members have questions of you. Vice President Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to say this is, and this may be real strange, I really appreciated the pictures that were in your response to the RFP. Not only the different parks that you've been involved in or designed, but also of the people that are on your team. I really appreciated that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? I guess you could stand by maybe if there's some questions that come up in public comment, but thank you for making yourself available. I'm going to turn this over now to public comment on this topic. I believe there are people here who are here to interested in this item. Does anyone want to comment on it to the board?
Hello. Thank you. I'd be happy to make a comment. Julie Amadei, City of Cambria. Yes.
Thank you.
Aaron has been with us since the very beginning. It will be almost 5 years, starting January 2025, essentially March. He has been beyond, I'll just say what he's been paid or potentially to be paid. His time that he's invested in this district and this project exceeds as a professional. So he continues to lean in and care and really want to see this park get built. So I appreciate considerations. I thought the ad hoc committee did a great job vetting through the proposals. And we're looking forward to working with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Amadei. Anyone else want to comment? Any comments from people online?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll bring it back to the board for discussion and a motion. Dr. Thomas.
I perceive that we may be ready for a motion, and although I'd love to hear a lot of conversation about this, I would also like the public to see us with momentum. I move to approve this agreement for consulting services with Spahn Ranch, Inc. for preparation of plans and specifications for the Cambria Skate Park.
Any a second?
May I second the motion?
Yep, you may. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the agreement for consultant services with Spahn Ranch, Inc. for preparation of plans and specifications for the Cambria Skate Park. Roll call, please.
Director Thomas.
Aye.
Director Dean.
Aye.
Director Farmer.
Aye.
Vice President Scott.
Aye.
President Gray.
Aye. I almost said Scambria Skate Park, too. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for coming out. And Director Dean.
And may I thank Mr. Spahn for being here in case we did have any questions.
I second that. Thank you, Mr. Spahn.
Thank you as well. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just want to make one more comment on what I said in the beginning. I still remember when we had that little gathering at Easy as Pie and how engaging Mr. Spahn was and connecting with all members of the community, all ages and sizes and genders. And it was like really, it was such a heartwarming evening. And that made such a huge impression on everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7A now, which is moved to the second position. This is discussion and consideration of approval of a partnership between the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, SLOCOG, and the CCSD for the installation and operation of 8 DC electric vehicle fast chargers in the Cambria Veterans Memorial Hall parking lot. Mr. McElhinney?
Thank you, President Gray. As mentioned, agenda item 7A is discussion and consideration of approval of a partnership between SLOCOG and the CCSD for installation and operation of 8 DC electrical fast chargers at the Cambria Veterans Memorial parking lot. The county, SLOCOG reached out to us with this grant opportunity, and it happened pretty swiftly. We met with them, discussed locations. We also met with the Lions Club and the Legion to discuss possible implications for its location. There did not seem to be any concerns that would come out of the fast chargers. I think it's a good move for the district, as we just received our first EV truck yesterday. And so... So this is a timely agenda item. So as we move forward to moving to a more green fleet and this opportunity to have these chargers provided to the district at no cost through the grant, its location, as you can tell from the pictures, should not impede any real access to the farmer's market or anything like that. There are some stipulations. They do have to be available 24/7. The EV charging locations are to be used by EV vehicles only. However, we will still have the same amount of ADA compliant stalls. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's a win for the district. And we did consult other stakeholders with the Lions Club and the Legion, and they were on board. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring it back to the board for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of the staff? I just, I do want to clarify the geography here, because farmers market, we talked, I think this is carefully worked out, but this area is an area that's not used for the stalls and the farmers market, setup. It's a park. It's kind of an open area anyway, isn't it, during farmers market?
Correct. It has been used for parking. That big long stall has been used for parking. So if folks get to the farmers market early enough, they're able to get access and park there. Mm-hmm. It will change in some aspects that will only be EV parking and ADA compliant parking. So there will be some lack of parking for those that don't have an EV vehicle. But I believe the trade off for our district, who's trying to move into that area, is worth it.
Yeah.
And specifically, in the various locations around the county, when we were working with SLOCOG, and we do have representatives on the line for further questions, is that there's not too many district-owned or county-owned or city-owned locations that are prime spots for this. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of open spaces where they can go around the county. I mean, they actually struggled to find locations, and our location is pretty unique, not only that it's pretty far north along the coastline. Mm-hmm. For us to be able to put in these chargers at a location that's acceptable was fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Additionally on that, they're looking at alternative fuel corridors, these AFCs. There's certain locations that federally they're funding where there's gaps in charging locations, mm-hmm. where there's over 100 or 150 miles. They're seeking out some of these areas mm-hmm. to kind of duplicate or install new fast charging.
Yeah,
for the commuters, or not for the commuters, for the our transient population, or our visitors, rather.
Thank you, Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So, it's my experience that if you have an EV, if you have an electric vehicle, it'll tell you on your communication that there's the EV charging stations where ours are going to be. Are we going to have signs on Highway 1 that say we have charging stations?
I don't know. That's a question for our folks online. They're going to be managing this project. I don't know if they'll have a sign, since everything's moved digital, like you were mentioning. No. If the vendor happens to be ChargePoint, for instance, like our EV station up front, that app will tell you right down Highway 1, turn right on, Main Street.
Yeah, that's a good question. I can SLOCOG, the SLOCOG people are online. I'll ask that question to them. Are there any directions to this charging station other than the digital one on the cloud, which everybody gets on their screens? Are there going to be any physical signs, for instance?
Good question, President Gray. Tim Gillum, SLOCOG staff. I have seen EV signage in the past at other locations. I don't see why we couldn't install some signage. Again, this is based on whether the grant application gets submitted. We did a joint application with our sister agencies to the north and to the south of us, and we hope to hear back sometime after the first of the year. I think we've got a pretty good shot. Jim and Matthew pretty much covered the basics. Again, most EV drivers do use apps these days to tell them where the nearest EV station charging station is. I'm also joined by our partner at the San Francisco Air Pollution Control District, Tom Hickey, who is also on virtually if he wants to chime in on signage. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we're here to answer questions.
Yeah. Do you wish to, from the representative of the APC of the Air Pollution Control District?
Yes. Hi. Yeah, hi. Thanks for
Mr. Hickey. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me be a part of this. I manage the grants for all the EV chargers with APCD, and we do have signs on the actual charger itself, but we refer to all the grant recipients to use plugshare.com. That's kind of the website that most EV chargers use, as well as Department of Energy has a map as well. So both of those tend to be the best way. And as most EV chargers trying to plan out their charging route as they're going ahead of time, I think there's a range anxiety as would be understandable. So so looking ahead of time, right now the fastest chargers is Morro Bay and Monterey. So this would be a significant impact to Highway 1, and then the benefit for the Cambria community if this grant is awarded. So I think this is pretty awesome for the community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Dr.
Dean, yeah.
So beyond the Veterans Hall here in Cambria, going north, where is the next closest EV charging station?
The next closest level 3 is in Big Sur, but it's half the kilowatt size, so it's going to take, in essence, twice as long to charge. The next closest 150 kilowatt charger is up in Monterey.
So it sounds like this would be a good location. And in this location, in the Vets Hall parking lot, it's able to be seen from Highway 1 as well as people driving through town. So, and the fact that this is a no match grant is a real plus here. Yeah.
So just clarify what it means to be fast charger. How long would it take to do a full charge?
That completely depends on the size of the vehicle. So if it's just a regular sedan, you're looking at anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. Most of the chargers in Cambria, like the ones out in front of the Vets Hall, that's going to take about 2 or 3 hours to get something fully charged because they're level 2. So this would be significantly bigger and faster.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board? I'll turn this over to public comment. Turning to public comment, is anyone here, Mr. Heinrichs, want to come forward?
Gordon Heinrichs with Cambria. I happen to own an EV vehicle, and it's currently being charged in front of the Vets Hall right today. So our manager over there did a good job finally getting that in after 3 or 4 years. So the thought would be to maybe have a better strategy on our time schedule for putting in 8 of these. And one of the first things I can see is that you're going to have a major conflict with the farmer's market. You're having a lot of people traveling back and forth from the parking area out on the highway to get across there. If you're going to be moving vehicles into the charging stations, that's going to interfere tremendously. Also, you got the heat from the sun there. It's heating up your vehicle while you're charging, which is not as conductive. And the other option is that you could put it in the front where the other one's located, where you have the shade in the afternoon. And it's very visible from the road on Main Street. And you can't see very well except the tent tops in the farmer's market. So you wouldn't necessarily know where those are to find them as well as it would be in the front. Well, there's a lot of things I think that you're not detailing. Also, one comment is that the 240 volt out front, it'll take you about 7 or 8 hours to full charge it. A terrible system. You have to have the level 3, which we can do it in, like he says, 30 to 40 minutes, depends on the vehicle. I've personally been talking to other people that out there, and they're very disappointed that Cambria doesn't have a fast charger. So it's definitely a good location for Cambria, especially if they open up Highway 1 again and get all the people coming down that they're going to get some need for stopping, which will include the opportunity of visiting the other facilities here in Cambria. And well, that's something you want to consider to move forward on.
Thank you. Anyone else in attendance want to comment? Ms. Dodson, we have anybody online?
No.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Dean.
Okay, so this item came before the R&I committee to review. And one of the questions an R&I committee member asked was if it was possible to use solar with these charging stations. So maybe we can get an answer to that question. And maybe if solar could be put over top of the charging stations, that would shade them while people were charging their cars as well.
Does anybody from SLOCOG or APC answer that?
Sure, I'll try and answer that, and yeah. Tom can back me up if necessary. It's my understanding I've yet to see what we would call level 3 DC fast charger solar powered. I know that they do level 2 chargers that are solar powered. Again, I mean, when design work is to occur, should the grant be awarded, I don't see why shade structures couldn't be looked at, or even the planting of trees. Again, there's a lot of ifs tied to this grant. We're required to put in the DC fast chargers. Again, it has to be along a designated alt fuel corridor, and has to be, again, open 24/7. And again, Tom can probably chime in on anything that I've missed, but these are all details that can be included in final design. But the minimum is the 8 DC fast chargers. There would be 4 chargers with dual ports, and obviously it'd be ADA compliant as required by the federal government. So again, our fingers are crossed that this grant gets awarded, and we hope to hear back after the first of the year.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mr. Hickey, do you have anything to add?
Yes, I can speak on the charger solar ratio there. As far as putting enough solar in for powering these 150 kilowatt chargers, that'd be an exponential cost. What we have seen, however, is I'm thinking of Slow RTA in their bus barn. They have the canopy set up to install solar panels, but that's going to be charging their barn. So it could be something where if there was a solar canopy, maybe that works for the vet's hall or something like that, because the power that's generated for level 3 chargers is such a large impact at one time that solar's it's just not cost-wise viable on that. But mm-hmm. It can be used for offsetting, you know, a building next to it, such as the vet's hall. So that could be an option down the road to consider.
Yeah.
This application is just for the DC fast chargers. And the location would be the most desirable one, which is drawn up. But again, that's before each county has broken up and done their RFP for the electrical contractor. So the electrical contractor may get in there and they may have a scope change for location or whatnot. We're not seeing that to be the case, but we still have to go out to RFP for Slow County in the 3 locations that were selected for this application.
Thank you. Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray, and good explanation. And that brings to mind the fact that there's been a lot of conversation about using this facility as an emergency response in a major power outage. And if we had right out here an array of solar panels charging a bank of a power wall, that would be quite useful in terms of having that backup power.
Yeah, President Gray, thank
McElhenney,
you. Staff is, so getting back to the chargers and location,
yeah.
When we met with the Lions Club, Mr. John Nixon, who helps with the setup and coordination of the farmers market. So he was the representative that had conversations about us with the farmers market. So we did check in with them, and that was vetted through them as well. As noted, the solar isn't an option if we're going to have high fast charging for those stations. Mm-hmm. Staff has looked at solar options for the district. We've met with engineering firms. Some of the things that are of concern for solar is our return on investment with those because of the overcast and the amount of energy that's generated in our specific area with the microclimate and the fog. So we've looked at that and it hasn't exactly penciled out yet. And I can let Mr. Green chime in on that here in a second. But we're looking at that. We've also looked at the requirements to make this a certified evacuation center, but there's a lot of upgrades that need to happen to the vets hall to make it suitable for that. But again, that's some of our long range goals there as well. As for the fast chargers being located in front of the vets hall, this board has had a lengthy discussion when we were just moving those chargers about their concern right. on where it went in just those stalls, let alone taking all the stalls. So that's a board discussion to be had, but there could be a possibility that the fast chargers could be moved out front, but it would take all of those stalls and there's grading issues. There would be a significant cost to make it compliant. I think Mr. Green is 2% grade is the max, and we've got a significant grade issue here. So that would be a lot of construction monies there, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Green to back me up on some of those statements.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a 2% grade for, and that's for handicap parking for ADA for ingress and egress outside of the vehicle. That's why we ended up on this side of the vets hall, because that was the flattest location. As we moved north, the grade was up to 5%. So it's not just tearing out some asphalt, regrading it, making it all zero grade. This is a flood area. So we'd have to go through county roads and kind of redesign and the whole scope of the area to make it adequate for draining. Mm-hmm. You make that flat right there, could pull back onto Main Street and cause flooding issues there. So the scope change for that to move in front of the vets hall would be a difficult, and it might not even be doable.
Yeah.
And one last thing, I apologize. As far as the project management timeline on when these would get in a prudent and prompt matter, we all know that there's a little bit of a misstep when we put it in front of the Legion down there and took up some spots. We've corrected that. It did take some time. SLOCOG and APCD will really be kind of the project managers on this, working through the grant if it's awarded. We will coordinate with them, but we as the CCSD won't have a lot of control over that timeline. So if approved, it's going to take a long time to get these in. So we'll keep the public updated if the grant's awarded and we were selected, but we won't be managing that timeline. Yeah. We'll work with SLOCOG and we'll work with APCD, but they really would be running the show on that. So we'll make sure everybody's updated. Yeah. But
thank you. I just had a couple of questions for clarification, just to hopefully, not raise some hopes about further money for further things. This grant is just for the station, charging stations, right? Not for any. We can't put canopies in, solar in as part of this grant, can we? This is just for the stations.
Not to my knowledge. This is just for the stations.
And the other question I have, the location, I think Mr. Hickey suggested that in his comments, this location is not like set in stone, because it would have to be determined by SLOCOG and APCD, as you mentioned, what the optimum setup is, right?
We have consulted with them. We actually met with Mr. Hickey on site, and we looked at the site, and it looks promising.
Okay.
How we coordinate those four dual stations and where they're located in the strips and how it's coordinated, there's a ways to go on how the actual setup will be. But after meeting with Mr. Hickey, and we'll, if the grant's awarded and we meet with engineers and things of that nature, we'll have a better idea of the setup. But
okay. So any further questions? We actually are on the discussion now. So we've had public comment. I guess I'll turn this back to the board for a possible motion and discussion. And we want to make a motion. Dr. Dean.
I move we approve a partnership between SLOCOG and the CCSD for the installation and operation of 8 DC electric vehicle fast chargers in the Cambridge Veterans Memorial Hall parking lot.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and second that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the partnership between SLOCOG and the CCSD for the installation and operation of 8 DC electric vehicle fast chargers in the Cambridge Veterans Memorial Hall parking lot. Roll call, please.
Director Dean.
Aye.
Director Farmer.
Aye.
Director Thomas.
Aye.
Vice President Scott.
Aye.
President Gray.
Aye.
Mr. President.
Yes.
If we get this grant and if these get put in and we want to talk about a canopy over them, I have photos that I took in France of solar arrays on top of the EV chargers that I can bring you.
It's done here too. I mean, if you go to the I know the Kennedy Club in Paso Robles has them. Yeah, and there's the Morro Bay School Bus Barn. You can see from the highway. Anyways, I go on to 7C, item 7C. This is a discussion and consideration of adopting a resolution 32-2024 approving a First Amendment to lease agreement with Lynn Investments LLC. This regards our new location on Main Street. So, Mr. McElhinney.
Thank you, President Gray.
Explain.
As introduced, agenda item 7C is for a slight modification to our agreement that was passed two board meetings ago. We were going to be on the east side of that medical office building. As we know, there is a physician within the community that reached out to Mr. Lynn and myself about bringing in a clinic there that really needed access to an x-ray room, which was going to be my office. And so instead of heading in that direction, Mr. Lynn reached out to us and offered us the west side, which is a much larger office space, but they're giving us the same square footage and the same rent cost for three offices and a couple different cubicle-like areas for admin staff. It will still be open to the rest of the unrented space until a time in which that is rented. And we spoke with Mr. Lynn, and we can put up a wall to kind of seal that off because there's multiple entrances and exits. And so with that, it is actually a better setup and layout, and it's not as tight as the other offices, which had built-in sinks, like most doctor's offices do. They have sinks built in and things like that. And they were much larger than the current offices. These offices have smaller sinks, but there isn't as much work that needs to be done in terms of any type of remodel and things like that. And so we think it's better for the community, especially to allow a physician into the community with x-ray capabilities, which I think the closest x-ray would be in Morro Bay. And so graciously, Mr. Lynn agreed to keep the same rent. I think we even got a little more square footage out of it than we did before, and he's been really gracious about that. And he really, his intent coming from Mr. Lynn was when he bought that property, it was to bring medical services into the community. He had an agreement, I believe it was with Tenant. They did a remodel, ended up not working out. They pulled out, and it's been vacant for quite a while.
Right.
So I think it's a win for both the CCSD and a win for the community to have us move our location over to the west side, and that's what you have before you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board members? Dr. Farmer.
This is the dumb guy question.
Never.
Why wasn't the west side considered to begin with?
Initially, when we did look at the west side, we fell in love with it because it's huge. However, the cost was going to be around $4,700 to $5,000 a month. And we never discussed chopping that larger space up. It was just going to be rented out as a whole. And for the district, we were paying around $3,800 for our current facility, and I didn't want to spend the money to go to a larger facility. We were looking to save monies for the district, and so we went with the smaller side. Mr. Lynn was the one that actually brought this idea up when the physician came around, and I stated to him that I wouldn't be able to go back before the board and ask to spend more money. I could have, but I didn't think that would go over well, and I wanted to be fiscally responsible and keep with the savings of district monies for the admin office. And so he came up to us with the idea that we could kind of section that part off if he was to rent the other space.
Well, I don't know why the idea of karma is entering my thought processes now, but the fact that the district made an effort to find a more hospitable location at less rent, and you did that, and because of your best of intentions, this is the reward. So
it worked out.
Yeah, cool.
Good karma. Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So, and I'm not sure that you have this information, but do you know if this person is going to be there full time?
The physician, yeah. Vice President Scott?
Yeah.
I believe so. Okay. I think he's been talking with John, and the physician was like, "Oh, now I'm on the hook. You know, I made a move, so I've got to commit." So I can check in with Mr. Lynn on the progress of that. I mean, yeah. they probably have a ways to go to get that ready, but I believe it's going to be a full time office, but I'm not sure.
Nice,
excellent. Any other questions? Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray, building on Director Farmer's karma comment, how on earth did we get so lucky? And sometimes you make your own luck. And I'm curious, has Mr. Lin been working overtime trying to get someone to take that space before it was too late?
I don't think it was his effort. I think it's always been there for rent. And he explained to us, I really want to, the initial side that we chose, he was, I was really hoping to get a physician in here. And we talked about it. He's like, but nobody's come around. And so we opted to take that smaller space. And then luck of the draw, there's a physician that emailed both Mr. Lin and myself a week and a half ago. Hmm. And then there was a mad dash to have a meeting. Hmm. And I think I mentioned it last board meeting, I was a little nervous about being nudged to the other side because it was a larger, more expensive space. But Mr. Lin is so passionate about the community and getting medical services that he worked with us and ensured us that it wouldn't have an effect on us financially. So, yeah. I mean, all the kudos and credit goes to Mr. Lin for this, to be honest.
Yeah. Dr. Dean.
So we have more square footage for the same price, and you have a lot more daylight coming in because you have a lot more windows.
There is a lot more windows, Dr. Dean, and I haven't measured it. You know, put a wall here and you have this spot. And just based on visuals, it looks like it's a little more square footage than we did have.
And I bet the staff is thrilled.
Yeah, everybody's pretty excited. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I had one question about the walls and alterations. How much of that cost, would the CCSD be covering the cost of the alterations? And will those alterations, if we do cover the cost, would they be less than it would have been in the other location?
With the budget adjustment, we planned for some alterations. Right. The other side was going to have more alterations to the configuration by taking down some of those sinks because it really chewed into the office space for Ms. Fritz and Mrs. Dotson. This one needs less work, and I actually think that we won't be spending as much money in terms of alterations. As far as the wall goes, I'm going to meet with David and potentially a contractor to see what it would cost to put up that wall. I haven't spoken to Mr. Lin about him paying for that alteration. I didn't think I would, based on the budget adjustment, considering what he's done for us and giving us a little more square footage. And I don't anticipate installing kind of a false wall there to be a very large expense, but we haven't got there yet as far as quotes go.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Turn this over to public comment. Is anyone in attendance here want to comment on this item? Anyone online?
No.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll get back to I'll bring it back to the board for a discussion and a motion.
Yeah, before I make a motion, I think maybe we should have a party of celebration, and we can have the Lins do the catering. That's just right. And with that thought, I say that we adopt Resolution 32-2024, approving a First Amendment to lease agreement with Linvestments LLC.
And I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Director Dean, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the adoption of Resolution 32-2024, approving a First Amendment to lease agreement with Lin Investments LLC. Roll call, please.
Director Farmer?
Aye, and thank you, John Lin.
Director Dean?
Aye, and yes, I agree. Thank you.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Thank you, everybody. We have a short item. Future agenda items as our final item. Then we go to a closed session, which will be introduced by our council. Just a note on future agenda items. There was an item discussed last week regarding the potential policy for reading of written comment to the board. That is a vote was taken to put that on a future agenda. So it will be on a future agenda. So we don't have to discuss that further today. I don't know if Ms. Dodson wants to tell us if there's anything else we need to know about on future agendas so we're not doubling up.
I can read them again.
Sure, why don't you do that?
Okay. Yeah. Discussion and consideration regarding creating a policy for street lights and lights at other district facilities under CCSD's jurisdiction.
receive a presentation from Stillwater Sciences and file the completed in-stream flow study, consideration of approval of the CCSD's climate adaptation policy, discussion and consideration of approval of the zero liquid discharge pilot testing program with Global Water Innovations, discussion and consideration on reading written comments at board meetings, discussion and consideration to approve an addendum to the landowner access agreement with Upper Salinas Las Tablas Resource Conservation District regarding access to and use of real property to implement a habitat restoration project for the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. Yeah, but the board asked for an addendum to that to include the detailed project scope, plans, et cetera. Discussion regarding Cambria Skate Park maintenance costs and funding. Discussion and consideration of approval of an agreement for consultant services with a vendor for the replacement of the rodeo grounds backup generator, and receive, review, and file the completed watershed sanitary survey.
Okay. Thank you very much. So does anyone on the board, any director, want to add another future or request a future agenda item and, you know, that's not covered by that list? I'm seeing no requests. I hereby turn this over, I think, to our counsel, Mr. Carmel, to adjourn to closed session.
Thank you, President Gray. The board will now adjourn to closed session for a public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B. The position title is General Manager. Thanks.
Did we need, we call for public comment at this point, right, if there is any? Mr. Carmel?
I don't see any, but yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay, good. Is there any public comment on this topic? Ms. Galloway.
Hi, Christina Galloway from Cambria. I don't know. I'm still learning the process, but I would like to recommend the build-out reduction program as either a future agenda item or something in regards to funding, water meter transfers, and existing lots that have been preserved.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I apologize for not opening the future agenda items public comment. That was an oversight, but this is not on the closed session, obviously. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so we'll go closed session.